This is a Hot Pie Media original.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the DMP City Sports Podcast presented by Odd Shark. I'm Chad Fisher alongside my co-host, Tony Farmer. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. And how's Michael Bolton doing?
Dude, he's chilling, man. He's just over here hanging out, you know, just a little time, love, and tenderness, you know.
Is this Michael's second time on the show?
Second appearance on the show, man.
Nice.
Yeah, dude. Getting him some run, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
We'd love to have him on the show sometime. I actually hit him up on Twitter to ask him to come on. He never responded.
I like it, man. Dude, in my former career, I've got a closet right now. Even though it's been years, I've got a closet full of ties and suits and button-down shirts and nice polos that I haven't worn in a long time. I'm like a t-shirt guy now.
Yeah.
But I don't really have enough t-shirts to sustain me for a show that's produced as often as this one.
Yeah.
So I'm like, when's the last time I wore this shirt? Dog. I bet people out there don't care. I could probably wear the same thing and nobody would actually care. But in my mind, I got to like keep it somewhat
fresh. I was looking at our past episodes the other day. I was like, dude, I wear a lot of blue V-necks, man. That's my go-to, man. I got like 17 blue V-necks. I was like, yeah, I think I can stop buying blue V-necks, man. I'm going to be honest with you. I think I got enough of those, you know. I try to like, you know, I make my own t-shirts. I have them made anyways, but I design them, so to speak. I design them. I pick out the picture. That's what I do.
I'm like, it's not much of a design. It's a white with a square.
Yeah. No, so I have Michael Bolton sit down this picture
for
here.
This photography session.
Yeah. I was like, hey, nice. Michael, just hold real still. Show some of that sugar neck, you know? Let me get some of that little brown sugar up there. And let's go make a t-shirt, man. He's like, all right, dude,
let's do it, man.
I like it. Yeah, I would go broke, man, if I was like trying to wear new shirts all the time, man. So you're going to see some repeats on this show.
I like it. Hey, I'm looking forward to today's show, man. NFL preview's coming up. But before that, we got an awesome interview. You want to tell folks about it?
Yeah, brother. I can't wait, man. We're talking to the head coach of Morehead State Eagles, Coach Spradlin. This is going to be an awesome interview. They made the tournament last year as a 14 seed. They got beat by West Virginia in the first round. They play a tough non-conference schedule every single year. They played some really tough teams last year, Ohio State. They got another tough schedule this year as well. We're going to get into that we're going to talk to him about that as well. And this guy that coached with Coach Calipari at Kentucky.
Mm.
So he's got great history of coaching, being around some of the best coaches in the game. He also coached the Dominican Republic national team with Coach Cal as well. So it's going to be really cool to talk to him and pick his brain and see what's coming up for their season this year and what his expectations are of his team.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I think he's our fourth college basketball coach that we've had on.
All of which made the tournament last year too, man.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's awesome. And it's cool talking to these guys about, you know, what it's like working with college students these days and what their expectations are for the upcoming season and things like that. It's been a blast. Yeah. I can't wait for this one.
And Coach Spradlin is another young guy too. The guy that players feel comfortable around, players coach type of guy. And we've had a lot of those guys on this program, you know. So, and then we've also had like Mike Rhodes, you know, who's a little bit different than that, so from VCU. So it's gonna be really fun to talk to this guy, man, and just see what he sees for their season coming up here.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Before we get into that though, Chad, will you start us off here telling folks about our lead sponsor, Oddshark?
Yeah, definitely, brother. Oddshark.com is your free source for the latest odds from leading authorities, including expert editorial content, the hottest sports news, detailed matchup picks, in-depth expert analysis. They also have more betting odds, faster live odds, and it's all free.
Yeah, Oddshark is awesome, guys. They break down the action from across major sporting events. They specialize in football with betting lines, props, and previews for NFL and college football fans alike. But if you enjoy betting on football on Saturdays and Sundays, maybe a little Monday night, Thursday night football action, Oddshark.com has you covered every single day of the week. They provided daily online sports betting lines to folks you know, Yahoo Sports, Fox Sports, TSN, and many other sports betting sites. So if you want to get a better understanding of the odds and the math behind the numbers, something that we talk about all the time on this show, maybe you want to learn more about how the lines are set, why the lines move during the week for the NFL, for instance, Oddshark will give you all the tools that you need. They have statistics and trends for upcoming games. We talk about trends a lot on this show when we do our NFL previews. They've got decades of stats in their databases, and their insiders give you takes so hot that they sizzle.
Mm.
Oddshark.com has proven info from around the globe. You can bet on any sports, guys. I'm talking basketball. I'm talking hockey. I'm talking auto racing of all kind. We just had Formula One here.
Yeah, here in Austin.
That was cool to have them in town. I saw that, man.
Yeah, man. Maybe want to get a shakaroni from Papa John's.
I like it. Soccer, I mean, NASCAR, boxing, MMA, anything you can think of, Oddshark has it. Even esports, you can get some info on Oddshark.com as well.
What's really cool about Oddshark is that you can also bet on stuff that's not sports related. You can bet on the Oscars, the Grammy. You can bet on Jeopardy. These dudes will take a bet for a turtle race. They do not care, man. It's awesome, dude. We love Oddshark. Oddshark has enlisted experts to help explain sports and poker odds and casino pros who can advise on the math behind blackjack strategy. So you can learn about all this stuff. If you're not familiar with it, you can learn about blackjack, you can learn about poker, all this stuff on their website. There are robust new sections around wagering events, such as special features on Super Bowl betting, how to make the best March Madness bracket picks, and how to find the best odds when betting the Kentucky Derby. They got it all, brother, for sure.
Yeah, so whether you're a full-blown degenerate like myself, or you're just getting
into
sports betting.
Going to Vegas three times in 6 weeks, you know?
Or you're just learning sports betting and you're curious about it and you want to learn more. No matter where you are on that spectrum, you got to check out Oddshark. They're a phenomenal resource. And we loved Oddshark before we even started having them on our show.
Yeah.
They were our go-to resource already. And so we love them.
One of the biggest things that we haven't mentioned yet that you got to do is why Oddshark is so great is because when you go to oddshark.com, you can see odds from 7 or 8 different sports books. A lot of times those numbers vary across those sports books. So you want to make sure you get the best number. It could be as large as a 1-point difference, 2-point difference, who knows? But you want to go there, make sure you get the best number, man, because that's the worst feeling in the world when you hit on a big game or something like that. And then you realize, hey, I could have gotten even more money had I you know, went to a different sports book. So you can compare and contrast all these numbers all across the board. That's why Oddshark is so awesome. Make sure you visit oddshark.com. They are the premier source for betting, and they also have like the greatest expert analysis. They got articles and stuff like that.
Bonuses too, if you want to sign up with a new site that they're affiliated with. They're phenomenal.
Yeah, so head on over to oddshark.com and start thinking like a shark today. We love Oddshark, man. Got to hit them up.
For sure.
And so with that being said, let's go ahead and get into our interview with Coach Spradlin. Really excited about this. All right, our guest today is entering his 5th season as head coach of Morehead State. He was named the Ohio Valley Conference Coach of the Year last season, leading Morehead State to a 23-8 record and their first OVC title in 10 years. He led the Eagles to the NCAA tournament last year as a 14 seed, losing to West Virginia in the first round. The Eagles garnered 17 OVC wins last year, the most in program history, and his team is looking to make a little bit more noise this year. We're excited to welcome to the DNP City Sports Podcast the head coach of Morehead State, Coach Preston Spradlin. How you doing, Coach? Thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, doing great, guys. Thanks so much for having me on here. Really excited to be on here with you guys, talk about our team a little bit.
Yeah, we're excited to learn about your team. I did a lot of research going into this interview, but I want to start with you, Coach. You played at Alice Lloyd College in Pippa Passes, Kentucky, and you're a young guy. I want to know, do you still got some game? Do you ever jump into charge drills, or you let the kids handle that? You ever get into the dunk competitions after practice?
No, you know, not the dunk competitions. You know, what I do like to do is get on the court and shoot with the guys. Okay, and I'm a modest guy, except when it comes to my shooting. Okay, that's the one thing that I can really do. I even challenge our recruits when they come on campus. Ooh. And I've only had one recruit in 5 years as a head coach who's come on his visit and beat me.
Oh, wow.
In a shooting competition. So, ooh, I take a lot of pride in my shooting. I'm not a great ball handler. I don't play very good defense at all. I coach it a lot better than I play. Yeah. But yeah, I played at Alice Lloyd, you know, and it's one of those things. Most people, you know, ask the question where I played, and I'll tell them Alice Lloyd, and they kind of give you a look. They never heard of it.
Yeah.
And normally, when they've never heard of it, I tell them I was really good because they can't look.
You're like, oh yeah, I was great. Oh,
you guys did your recon. I can't fool you. So it is what
it is. That leads into my next question, Coach. Pippa Passes is a town myself and 8 billion other people have never heard of. We just got to know. This sounds like a town. Were they serving moonshine at the games? Was there people sneaking under the bleachers during halftime getting a little swig of moonshine? What was going on there?
Man, I doubt that. I doubt that. You know, pretty strict school. Yeah. Unbelievable place, though. It's I think it's one of 3 work study colleges in the country. Okay, and so every student on campus has a job, and you know, I'm pretty proud of that because my first 2 years in college, man, I was a dorm janitor. How about that?
Wow.
And so I'd get done with practice, and I'd go to the dorm, and I'd clean the lobby, the hallway, the toilets, the sinks, whatever it was. And I've actually got the plaques for 2 years in a row, my freshman and sophomore year. For the entire school, I was the male work study of the year.
Wow. No kidding.
My work as a janitor, and I'm pretty proud of that, to be honest with you. So that's what's unique about Alice Lloyd, man. But no moonshine,
awesome.
No sneaking that stuff in.
I was going to say, that trophy is probably right next to the OVC title from last year, right?
It's in front of it. But the OVC one's like this. The janitor award's a lot bigger.
Wow, that's great. You got to talk to the OVC. We got to step up the trophy game a little bit, you know?
Well, I don't get to the OVC championship trophy without being janitor of the
year.
There
you go, coach.
Me, man.
Yeah, there you go.
Coach, on a serious note, what can you take? What did you take from that experience? I'd imagine there's a lot of life lessons that came from working your butt off in the dorms during that time. What can you take from that you can either use to impart on your students today or that have helped you throughout your life?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, humility and ownership. You know what I mean? Like, I never walk around a hallway, whether it's here in our arena or anywhere, without, you know, taking a little pride and a look at, you know, how's this place look, you know, picking up some trash or something like
yeah.
that, you know what I mean? And respect, you know, we've got an unbelievable custodial crew here that take care of our arena and keep it beautiful, man. And we love to spend time with those guys and talk to them, and we appreciate them, you know, and that's something that you take away. But I think, you know, all the people that went to my college, you know, you learn to work, you know what I mean? You're not just there to have the college experience, which is great, and get your education. But everyone comes out of there with a work ethic. You know, that's something that you train yourself to have while you're there. And as you guys know, it's very important no matter what you're going into.
I love picturing you on the court with a recruit in these shooting competitions. So I want to hear a little details. Is this a game of horse? Is this a 3-point? Like, you take five shots, I take five shots. What does this competition look like?
You know, well, first of all, let's talk about the attire. You know, I probably got loafers and a polo and some khaki shorts.
All
or
right.
Something, you know? So we're probably fresh off of, like, you know, lunch or breakfast or something like that. But no, we just get on the court. We mess around a little bit. You know, normally guys are we'll do photo shoots and things like that, like everyone else does on a visit. So the kid will be out there dribbling and shooting and things. And then we'll kind of casually, you know, I'll challenge them a little bit, but we'll go to 10, you know.
Okay.
And always give them the first shot. We alternate shots. First one to go to get it to 10. And, you know, my secret is that I always go second. That way, if the kid's leading, I get a chance to catch up to him.
But there you go.
We go to 10. That's how we do it. And if he beats me the first one, then we're going to go a series of 3. If he beats me, then we're going to go a series of 5 until I win. It's just.
That's the secret. I was listening carefully. I thought I heard another secret in there, too. I think I heard you say it's after lunch. Are you like, hey, maybe you want to eat a little more so they get a little drowsy?
It's a double cheeseburger there at lunch. You know, that's not going to hurt.
I have a salad on shooting day. And they have, we load them up. Absolutely.
So. Hey, we got some brisket back there. Don't be shy. Go ahead and get you some brisket there.
Ribs.
I love it. I love it. That's Coach, awesome. On a serious note, you guys played Kentucky, Ohio State, and Clemson last year. You guys don't shy away from playing top-tier programs. And this year, you guys play at Auburn, at Mississippi State, and at Xavier. That's a big-time schedule. What's your mindset going into this season?
Yeah, well, first of all, the Lakers weren't available. We tried to get them too. we throw everybody in there. But, no, you want to challenge yourself. You know, last year, we crazy scheduling year with COVID. I'm sure you guys have heard some stories about that. Oh, everyone's schedules just got flipped. And we had a challenging schedule. We had what we thought was a tough schedule. And when COVID hit and things got flipped, we got a tougher schedule, playing, you know, 4 top 25 teams in a non-conference and starting off 4-6. And, you know, I think the important thing for us is, you know, you want to win your league. You know, non-conference is important. You want to win non-conference. There's no doubt about it. But at the end of the day, in a mid-major school, you know, you want to win your league, those 18 conference games, and you want to win your tournament. And so challenging yourself in the non-conference is important. And getting your team some great exposure is important as well. And whatever, you know, holes you have in your offense or your defense or your lineup, you want to get that figured out in November or December. You don't want to find that out in January or February when you're playing your conference games. And so what better way to do it than to challenge yourself, you know, oftentimes on national television against some of the best players and best coaches in the country. And it's fun. It's fun to see how you stack up. And it's going to be really fun this year to go to some of those places, you know, post-COVID and play in some unbelievable environments.
Yeah, we think so, too. We're going to get into your current team here shortly. But, Coach, last year you guys had 6 guys that averaged at least 7 points a game. Is depth something that you stress, and is that a fundamental aspect of your program?
Yeah, without a doubt. I think, you know, for us, we want to have great versatility, you know what I mean, with our positions. We're always going to have 2 point guards on the court at all times, you know, and it makes it fun to play that way, to recruit that way, because you're not just recruiting guys that can shoot. Or if you are recruiting guys that can shoot, you develop in the guys who can make plays for others. But, you know, I think that's the team chemistry that we had last year and that we're striving to get this year. Just it makes you a dangerous team because you can key in on one guy, but you've got great, you know, balance that any of your, you know, top six guys could go for 16, 17 points on any given night. And when you've got good buy-in and good culture that they really don't care who that is on any given night, they just want to win. It makes your team really hard to play against. It makes you hard to scout and take away, because if you take away option A or option B, you've got other really good options there that are more than capable. So that's by design, without a doubt. But it's a lot of fun. It's a lot mm-hmm. of fun when you can get your team to buy in and play that way.
You guys return your leading scorer and rebounder, Johnny, who's a 6'10 kid that averaged 14-9 last year. He's still young, though. So what do you guys expect from him this year? And can you give us some insight into what he may have improved on over the summer?
Yeah, Janai is he's a baby now. He's just a pup. He's still a young guy, 19 years old. He was freshman of the year last year in the OVC. You know, he's gotten stronger. He's more mobile this year. I'd expect him to have a bigger impact defensively. And he was a very good defender last year for a freshman. But his mobility is going to allow him to defend out on the court a little bit more, blocking more shots, rebounding out of his area. But because of the attention he's going to garner going into the season this year, you know, he's going to demand a lot of other teams' attention defensively. And so his passing has really improved from the low post, from the high post. He's impacting the game with his vision, his feel, and then the skill that he's developed over the summer to make his teammates better. And so combine that with his ability to score the ball, you know, makes for a complete player.
Yeah, he averaged just under one assist a game last year, Coach, I believe. And so that's an element of his game that you expect to take the next jump. He's going to be able to pass a little bit more out of the post and find guys out on the perimeter.
Without a doubt, you know, and, you know, last year we were a great defensive team. It's who we're going to be no matter what. It's who we're going to hang our hat on. We were top 20 in the country. Ball screen defense last year, really good. You didn't give up a lot of baskets and ball screens. And we're going to be good again this year. I bring that up because Janai has, with his skill set and his ability to short roll in the middle of the floor and catch the ball with his back to the basket and, you know, as a big guy to not travel with it, turn around, make a play for himself or for a teammate. At 6'10", is really impressive. And so those are things he's gotten a lot better at, and they've challenged us on the defensive end because you just don't see that very often.
When you've got someone like Janai, who I think has NBA potential, how do you handle that as a coach? You probably don't want to get his head too big and start talking about that stuff too early, but at the same time, it's a realistic possibility. So what are those conversations like between you and he?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, you don't want to run from the conversations, but you don't want to dominate his mind with it as well. Mm. I think the focus for anybody is be a good college player. And I think if you were talking to an NBA scout or a GM, they would want the kid to think of that as well. You know, be great where you're at and what your team needs you to do. I think oftentimes players think, well, I see, you know, a Joel Embiid hitting threes and things like that in the NBA. Well, he's 6 years into the NBA. When he was playing at Kansas, he was dominant in the post and taking one or two threes. And so NBA teams don't always need to see that stuff. And so having conversations about that, you know, having conversations about what are they looking for? You know, your talent gets you in the door, or gets them in the door rather, to come and watch you, and they know about you. But they're going to see your work ethic. You know, they're going to see, are you coachable? Are you a great teammate? Do you listen? Do you talk on the floor? Do you crave opportunities to get better? And things like that. That's what they want to see, because there's a lot of talented guys that aren't in the NBA because they don't have those things. And so, you know, I was at Kentucky for 5 years before I came here to Morehead State, and we had 26 guys that got drafted while I was there. And so I spent a lot of time with scouts and GMs, and I learned a lot about, you know, what their approach was to evaluating guys. And it didn't have a whole lot to do with basketball. I think the basketball piece is easy to see. But if they're going to invest millions of dollars in contracts and draft positions, which don't come around very often, they have to figure out what kind of people they are. And I'm proud of Janai in that regard, because we kind of did the same thing in the recruiting process with him, that we felt like, because he was a great kid, great support system, and he loved to play, and he had a hunger to get better, that he was going to be able to do that. And the great surprise was he did it at a high rate, and it was fun to see his progression last year.
He's got an awesome name, too. Tell him I'll gladly switch names with him. I got the whitest name in the world.
Chad Fisher.
Chad Fisher. They're like, we know this guy's white. There is no question about it. This dude is white as all get out. We already know.
Yeah.
But, Coach, you returned three of your top four scorers from a year ago. Do you expect to be even better this year, conference championship and competing for the NCAA tournament? It's kind of the standard now, right?
You know, we're not going to set like goals on it and things like that. Obviously, it's there. You know, we've got new challenges this year. You know, last season, you know, a year ago, I think we were preseason 7 or 8 in the league. And now you're preseason number 2 with the player of the year on your roster.
Yep.
But our conversation with the guys, with our team when those preseason polls came out were the same as they were last year. Listen, those things don't really mean very much. Mm-hmm. You know, they're very nice, but what they do mean for our team is that we're going to get everyone's best shot. And, you know, I think our players have some lofty goals to get to where we were last year, if not exceed it and get past it. But I think they also understand how we got there last year is to not look beyond today. And we stay very process oriented. You know, I know it's cliche, everyone says it, but if the ones who can do that and put it into action are the ones that you see being consistently good every year. And that's what we're striving to do. And winning can make that more difficult sometimes, you know, because it is a distraction in some ways. But at the same time, it gives you confidence to know that you can get there. And I think if you can you look around your facility and see banners and rings and things that we have now, and don't look at those as, man, we get a chance to relax because we won it last year. We're just going to do it again. If you shift your mindset to those things being a reminder of how you got there, then you got a chance to do it again.
We've talked a lot about Janai and the fact that you've got a lot of your leading scorers coming back. But could you pick a guy who maybe is sort of under the radar, who a lot of people on the national scale might not be aware of, who you think could raise some eyebrows this year, catch some people off guard and have a big season and be a key contributor for you?
And we've got a lot of guys, really. We had another guy, Skylar Potter, who was all newcomer team last year. He was picked preseason first team this year. He had a great season for us, and I think Skylar is going to make a big jump this year. You know, he's really grown and matured a lot in the year and a half that he's been here with us, and I think his role coming into the season is going to be more than what it was last year. And so he's going to make a big jump, and he's an exceptional talent on both sides of the floor, and he's going to be able to do that. Talon Cooper has been our point guard for a couple years now, and just a phenomenal floor leader, and just very cerebral player. He's like a coach on the court and a great passer and can shoot the ball. But then we got some transfers that have come in via the transfer market that have all come in. You know, all three of our transfers, guys, came in from programs where they won a championship. And that was important to us when we were going through the recruiting process, that we wanted to get guys who have championship DNA, because you can't replace that. You can't fake it.
Yeah.
And so they've been there. They know what winning championships feels like. And they brought that mentality to our team, and they're going to make a big impact as well.
Coach, I got a tough question for you here. Obviously you're at Morehead State, you're bringing that program up. You're a young guy. And obviously if you continue to have the success that you've had inevitably bigger schools are going to come along and try and sign you. It's the same deal with some of your players in the transfer portal nowadays. I've always wondered, how do coaches like yourself compartmentalize that so well? I'm not asking you to say like whether you're staying at Morehead for the next, you know, 20 years or what have you, but what's your secret to compartmentalize that? Because obviously you're a coach, you want to coach at the highest level. You've been at Kentucky with Coach Cal. But how do you compartmentalize that so well and just stay focused on the task at hand?
You know, a couple things. I think number one, my faith. You know, spend a lot of time in prayer and in the Word, and I think it's very important to grow where you're planted, and that's from the Bible, and that's something that we talk about with our guys all the time. And I think if you're going to talk about those things as a coach to your players, you've got to live that out. And if I'm thinking too far ahead, then I'm going to cheat the opportunity that I've got with my guys right here. And, I love it here at Morehead State. This is home for me. You know, growing up, this is my dream job, to coach it here in Eastern Kentucky, an hour and a half from where I grew up, in a town just like I grew up in. And so raising my family here the same way that I was brought up is important to me, and it's very valuable. It's honestly, you know, I place a lot of value on that money can't really, can't buy. And so, you know, we're going to stay in the moment. You know, I don't know where God wants me to be a year from now. If it's here, then I'm going to be so happy to be here. If it's somewhere else, then I'm going to trust that that's where he wants me to be. But I'm certainly can't waste the opportunity and the time I get with my team, with this community, and the impact that we can have here by thinking too much in the future. And so that's how I stay grounded with it.
Mm-hmm. That's refreshing.
That is awesome.
That's so refreshing.
That's really cool
to hear.
For yeah,
sure.
It really
I appreciate
is.
That perspective.
What I'm basically trying to say, Coach, is don't forget about us if you ever get to a big time program or something. make sure you keep me in the Rolodex, okay, Coach?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, I'm at a big time program right now.
Yeah,
man.
You are.
No matter where
good
I'm
point.
At, you guys are on the list, man. You want tickets? You let me know.
Oh, that's great.
Awesome, man.
Yeah.
We'll take care of you. Give you the VIP treatment.
Oh, what's up?
Appreciate that very much.
We're making
man,
a trip to Morehead State
Let's
this year.
Let's do it.
Looks like.
Let's do it. We're going to talk to our producers about getting some plane tickets out there. I like it. Hey, I just wanted to talk to you about your coaching philosophy in general. You know, when you're talking to recruits and they may ask you, how are you different from other coaches that I might be talking to? What's sort of your day-to-day philosophy and how you interact with them? What are the things that you value? What are your staples that maybe sets you apart, you feel like, from other coaches nationally?
Sure. You know, it's all about relationships with us. You know, I think kids start playing basketball in the beginning. You know, my son's 9 years old and he's playing. They start playing because it's fun. And I think just because you get into college, it's very serious. And, you know, wins mean a lot, losses mean a lot. You can't lose your element of fun. And so for us, I'm a very competitive guy. And we recruit guys who are competitive, and we kind of change their definition of fun, you know, challenging themselves to get better. And we identify that as fun. Well, what's it take to do there? You got to get yourself uncomfortable. But I'm really big on, you know, I tell recruits and I tell our team this, you know, I have no desire for you guys to turn on the TV and see one of our games and say, holy cow, this guy can flat out coach. Like, I really don't care about that. I hope you watch our games and you say, man, these guys play hard. They have fun. They play together. And they got a great team. And I want you to talk about our players, not talk about our plays, not talk about our actions or anything like that. I want it to be about the players. And, you know, I think something that's really important for us is instilling confidence in our guys. So we have a rule in our program. You're not allowed to say my fault or my bad.
Oh,
wow. it's not because we want the guys to be perfect. It's quite the opposite. We love when they make mistakes because it gives them an opportunity to be coached and get better. And so the very first practice plan of every year, the emphasis of the day is called get it back. And so when our guys make a mistake, whatever it may be, miss a layup, do something wrong that we're teaching them new, we train them to say, I'll get it back instead of my bad coach or my fault. And so what that is it, you know, my fault or my bad is a negative comment. I'll get it back is a positive comment. And so our guys, we build that habit individually and as a team so that if a guy goes out and he misses a shot or he turns the ball over, he doesn't hang his head. And I don't sub them for that. Like, I don't sub guys for missed shots or turnovers immediately. We leave them on the court and give them an opportunity to get it back. And when they can play with that freedom, they're going to make an exceptional pass. They're going to make a tough shot to win you a game. Or you know, play off their instincts because they're not afraid they're going to get yanked out of the game all the time. And then if they do miss a shot or turn the ball over, they sprint back on defense and they take a charge. They rotate over and they block a shot or they dive on a loose ball and they get it back for their teammates. And so that's just a cultural thing that we start doing from day one. And for us, it allows the guys to play with confidence and play free and loose that you're going to make mistakes and we're okay with that. Just get it back for your team.
Yeah, words and thoughts are powerful. And so I love the fact that you're addressing that. I feel like that advice is actually helpful off of the basketball court as well in life. When we start using more positive thoughts and positive words to describe things, I think it can have a big impact. So I appreciate you sharing that.
Definitely. Coach, last couple questions here for you. You seem to be good friends with Coach Cal. You spent, as you mentioned previously, you spent 5 seasons with him, and you were a coach on the Dominican Republic national team in 2011. For those of us that don't know him, what kind of guy is he? And this is a question I've always had for people that have been around him. Obviously, it's Kentucky. It's a blue blood. It's one of the top programs in the country. But how does Coach Cal recruit so well? Even when they have off years, they seem to have a top two or three recruiting class the following year.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, he's unbelievable. He's so good to work for. He values your family, your time, and he's about the players. You know, the players first mantra is not just it's not just on t-shirts. I mean, it's really how he runs his program. And we try to do the same thing here. That's the advice he gave me when I became a head coach. But recruiting, you know, who wouldn't want to play for Cal? You know, nowadays kids want to go to the NBA. They want to play in the NCAA tournament. There's nobody who does those two things better than him. And playing on a huge stage at the University of Kentucky in a state like this where people love basketball, just like they do here at Morehead State, to where it really means a lot. But he's about his players, man, and his development and his relationships with those guys. And, you know, he's very real in the recruiting process. You know, he's not going to tell you what you want to hear. He's going to tell you what you need to hear. And he's got a great awareness that playing for him and playing for Kentucky on that stage is not for every kid. And does a great job of weeding that out in the recruiting process so that he can get top tier talent who can live up to the expectations that that they're going to have playing in a place like Kentucky.
Yeah, definitely. That's awesome to get some insight on that. I've always wondered about that. He seems like an awesome coach and good to talk to someone that knows him. Coach, a little side note before we let you go. I've known about Morehead State for many, many years because Rick Menard, the leading scorer in Morehead State basketball history, he went to my high school. I played against I was on the JV team as a sophomore when he was a senior. He went to Mansfield Senior in Mansfield, Ohio. Everyone, he was the pride of Mansfield. We always followed his career. One of the best players I've ever seen play. I played against some good guys. I played against Chris Quinn, who went to Notre Dame. He's an assistant coach for the Miami Heat now. But against him, but Rick Menard, Ricky was the best player I've ever seen play. And two things. One, he was a super nice guy. And two, that man dunked on me so many times in practice, it could have been considered assault. I'm going to be honest with you. He had permanent residence on my shoulders, man. I'm going to be honest with you. But if you ever see Ricky, if he ever comes down there for a game or something like that, let him know we say hello. And I've been following the Morehead State basketball program for a while because of Ricky and everything like that. So it's cool to get to talk to you now.
No, I appreciate that, man. And, you know, one thing I did when I first got the job, I started to reach out to as many former players as I could. Just to try to make that connection with them and let them know this is their program, no matter, you know, who's sitting in this chair as a head coach. And Ricky's been great. We've talked quite a few times. He's got an AAU program now. He's starting up and starting to coach some players. He just finished playing like a year or two ago overseas. So he had a great career in basketball. And we put up some new pictures around here in our facilities of Ricky and some guys who played before and after him, just to honor some of the great players that have come through.
That's awesome. Yeah. Whenever you speak to him next, let him know I say hello. Awesome to talk to you, Coach, big time. You guys open a season. Morehead State opens the season November 9th at Auburn. That's going to be a good game. I'm definitely going to be watching that. You can give Coach a follow on Twitter. He is at Coach P. Spradlin, Spradlin. Give him a follow. We're going to be rooting for you big time, Coach. I know Absolutely. You got some big time games this year. We're going to be checking you out. I've got all the sports packages. I'm going to be watching some Morehead State definitely this year.
Looking forward to it.
Well, we appreciate it, guys. I promise we won't disappoint. Our guys are really fun to watch. We got a great team again this year. Great balance, as you guys mentioned, and our guys are going to play really hard no matter what. So we're excited to get the season started a couple weeks at Auburn. Welcome to the jungle post-COVID, people everywhere. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, that's 2 weeks away, man. So right around the corner. Cannot wait. That's going to be awesome.
Thank you so much for your time and your generosity today, man.
Thanks, Coach. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Hey guys, we're super proud to announce that the DMPCD Sports Podcast is now sponsored by BetterHelp. That's Better H-E-L-P. Is there something interfering with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. BetterHelp is not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional therapy done securely online.
Yeah, we love BetterHelp because they have a broad range of expertise available, which may not be available to you locally. The service that is available to clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send your message to a therapist. That's 24 hours a day, folks. You'll get a timely and thoughtful response. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions. You won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as you do with traditional therapy.
Yeah, that's the worst, man. Everyone just coming in, judging you and stuff like that. You don't want to do that. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change therapists if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline therapy, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. That's BetterHelp.com.
Yeah, you can visit their website and read testimonials that are posted on there every single day. Visit BetterHelp.com/DNP. That's BetterHelp. And join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional.
Yeah, BetterHelp has become so popular that they are hiring new, recruiting additional therapists in all 50 states. We have a special offer for our listeners. If you go to BetterHelp, that's HELP.com/DNP, as in did not play, you're going to get 10% off your first month of service there. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, definitely check them out, folks, especially this time of year. You know, the winter's coming along. People start to get a little depressed, and
Anything to stand in your way, man, relationships, anything that you need help with. You don't have to be, like, severely depressed or messed up to use BetterHelp. I mean, I go to a therapist once a week, man. It's one of the best things I've ever done. It's helped me immensely, helped me with confidence, helped me with little problems that you had, whether it's, you know, divorce, loss of a loved one, any relationship. All that stuff, man. You wanna get help, man, so it doesn't develop into bigger problems. And that's what BetterHelp is here for. So make sure you go to BetterHelp. That's HELP.com/DNP. You're gonna get 10% off your first month of therapy.
All right, phenomenal interview there. I'm excited to talk a little NFL Week 8 action with you, Chad. Let's kind of recap the last couple of weeks, what we've seen in the NFL from a betting perspective. We've seen heavy favorites cover their spreads. That continued last week when we saw the Buccaneers cover. The Lions surprisingly played the Rams pretty close. But we're seeing a lot of these heavy favorites cover. We're also seeing teams off the bye week not play well, which goes against the trend. Historically, that was almost an auto bet to take the team coming off the bye week with the point spread. And we're actually seeing those teams struggle. So we're seeing a lot of the historical trends that sharp bettors have taken advantage of not come through. And what that's meant the last couple of weeks is the public is having a great week and the sports books are actually getting hit pretty hard. But there's a reason that these places are in business, folks. There's a reason that when you go visit these places, they got a lot of expensive decor around, and that's because they make a lot of money. So I don't see this trend continuing. But at what point does it start to reverse? It will reverse at some point. I promise you that. So some people out there, and this is, I think, good advice, are saying maybe decrease your units that you're betting. If you typically bet, you know, 8 or 9 units a week, maybe go down to 3 or 4 this week while we watch some of this play out. Or you could say, hey, I'm going to ride the hot hand. These heavy favorites are hitting. I'm going to keep on going with this trend, but I think that's a little bit dangerous. That's not the approach I'm going to take. I'm going to take what's worked for me over the years. And that's, you know, taking these points, taking these underdogs, et cetera, et cetera. So
there's a lot of blowouts last week.
The last 2 weeks.
So there's only, I was talking to Colton, our producer here before the show. I think there's only two counting Monday night, 2 1 possession games the entire weekend.
Brutal.
That's crazy, man.
Brutal.
That was some. I didn't watch too much NFL. I'm gonna be honest. On Sunday, man, I was doing some family stuff.
Well, if you got to miss a week, that's the week to miss it. Yeah. I mean, the early games. The only game that was like exciting toward the end was the Dolphins Falcons game.
Yeah.
Which was like, who cares?
Yeah. No one cares about that. There's actually 3 1 possession games, counting the Thursday night game with the Browns and the Broncos.
Yeah.
But Case Keenum and Teddy Bridgewater were the quarterbacks, so I don't think too many people were watching that, to be honest with you. But yeah, lots of blowouts, man.
Yeah, it's hopefully that changes these last couple weeks. Hopefully we get some more competitive games. But we do have, as we're going to talk about, a couple big point spreads next week as well.
One thing I just want to mention real quick is I think we're starting to see the teams are starting to separate themselves from the haves and the have-nots.
Yeah.
And we saw that especially last week with a lot of these blowouts. You start to see the pecking order of the NFL start to take shape now that we're entering week 8. It's awesome time of year. It's right in the thick of the schedule and everything like that. But you're starting to see the teams separate themselves from each other, which is really cool.
Yeah, I agree. You know what's pretty interesting too, Chad? I've seen a lot of people who have, you know, done their power rankings. A lot of people who I trust who have good power rankings out there. And there is like a wall at like around 11 or 12. It's like you got these good powerhouse teams that are solid that you trust and you can depend on. And then once you start getting into the teens, it falls off a cliff.
Yeah.
And it's all this, it's like mediocrity everywhere. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of mediocre teams.
And then there's like a third tier of just like garbage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're talking about the Jaguars. Jets. We're talking about the Lions, Texans, et cetera. Jets, absolutely. That might be the worst team in the NFL right now. And so I agree with you. The cream is rising to the top, but then there's like mediocrity. And what I think is interesting, Chad, is one or two of these mediocre teams are probably going to like get hot before the end of the year and actually sneak into the playoffs. So now is not a terrible time to start looking at futures odds for some of these teams to either make the playoffs or to be in the Super Bowl. A team like, I don't know, let me just throw out there, I know this might sound crazy, but what kind of odds can you get? The Falcons, who've won a couple games in a row against bad opponents, but wouldn't be totally shocked if a team like that got hot.
And Indianapolis.
Oh, that's another a good
team.
One.
Yeah.
That's a really good one, man. They're getting hot at the right time as well. I could see Minnesota getting hot down the stretch.
New England, even. You know, I mean,
absolutely.
They've Big Mac Jones, as he starts to get more comfortable in that offense, he threw for over 300 yards last week. They beat the crap out of the Jets again.
Yep.
Absolutely. That's another good team to look at, too.
Yeah, and I mean, don't wait till these teams get really hot and everybody's talking about them. Take a little sprinkle on these future lines now. But anyways, heading into week 8, the first game I want to talk with you, Chad, is Green Bay at Arizona. This is the Thursday night contest. Arizona is a 6-point favorite over Green Bay. We've got some context to talk about here because Devontae Adams, perhaps the best receiver in the NFL, is likely going to miss the game. But is he definitely out? Have you heard?
I thought he was.
I think he's definitely out with COVID. I saw he was on the COVID list. And so no Adams, no head coach. But then the scary part is, there could be other guys because you don't know who else may have been infected. Now they're going to be testing this week, et cetera. So in my opinion, you got to lay off this game right now. I actually like the Packers a lot before this drama unfolded around COVID. What are your thoughts now?
Dude, that's a large spread, man. 6 points is a lot, you know, especially for a team like Green Bay. But Arizona has been just, you know, taking people to the woodshed, you know.
Yep.
So I'm with you, brother. I wouldn't touch this game. I think Arizona is going to end up winning because of some of the factors that you mentioned with Devontae Adams being out. Who knows who else is going to be out. I would take Arizona in this, but that's a big spread, man. 6 points is a lot.
Yeah, for sure. And something that we talk about on this show a lot is the backdoor cover. And with or without Devontae Adams, you got to like Aaron Rodgers with the opportunity, you know, down 13 with the ball, Arizona in a prevent defense to get you the backdoor cover there, even if the game gets away from Green Bay early. So with a gun to my head, I'd lean Green Bay, but I'm not going to touch this game.
Yeah.
Next up, we got one of those big point spreads we previewed here. We've got the Rams at Houston. Rams 14.5 point favorites on the road. I like Houston here a lot. If and only if Tyrod Taylor plays.
Yeah, I feel you, man. I don't know. That is such a large spread, man. It's just but at the same time, Houston hasn't been doing too well against the spread in these games, you know. So that's 14 points. You know, you and I talk about this all the time, man. We don't really like to touch those games, you know. So I would honestly take the Rams, though. I think they're going to win by more than two touchdowns. I definitely do.
I see your thinking there. Like you said, Houston has not done well in these big spreads. We saw the Bills destroy them earlier this year, and you saw what happened to them last week. I think I'm going to lean Houston. I am leaning Houston here if Tyrod Taylor plays. I'm not going to touch it if Davis Mills is the starter. Just think back to weeks 1 and 2. I don't want to oversell Tyrod Taylor here. I don't mean to make it sound like he's, you know, Superman or something, but think of how well he played weeks 1 and 2.
A lot better.
He gave your Browns a scare.
Yeah, they did.
Week 2, didn't he?
If he wouldn't have gotten hurt that game, we might have lost that game, or it'd have been a much closer what it was.
And I think unless you're a Browns fan or unless you were watching that game closely as a bettor, you are unaware that Tyrod Taylor looks really darn good week 2. And so, keep that in mind that the Texans with Tyrod Taylor could cover some of these spreads later in the season. Next up, we've got San Francisco 49ers at Chicago. I'm seeing 3.5 point favorites for San Francisco. This is why we love Oddshark, folks. If you like the 49ers, obviously get them at the sites, at the shops where you can get -3. And if you like the bear side, get that hook, get that +3.5.
Mm-hmm.
3 is a very important number in these spreads. Historically, 15% of games have ended by exactly 3 points in the NFL. And so that's statistically an important number. I'm taking a big sigh here thinking about this because I am a 49er fan and I just watched them.
How much confidence do you have in that team right now?
Very little.
Yeah.
Very little. I also think Chicago is one of the more overrated teams, even though people don't think they're that good anyways, which is kind of what gives me pause. I think I'm going to have to take San Francisco. You guys may remember I told you to take Indy last week, and I was right about that over the 49ers. I think I'm going to have to take the Niners to cover here, knowing that the microscope is on Kyle Shanahan, the microscope is on that team, and they've got pressure, and I think that pressure is going to help them out a little bit this week. We've seen this team have their back against the wall, and they've done some good things in that situation in the past. However, if they lose, their season's over.
I feel like this is two very similar teams. Matt Nagy's going to be out of that game too, right?
With the COVID.
Anyways, it's a possibility. I mean, it's a long way.
Absolutely.
These are two very similar teams, you know what I mean? In my opinion, very similar trajectories, in my opinion. Dude, I don't know if I want to touch this game either. You know, I don't have any confidence in either of these teams.
Yeah.
I feel like it could go either way. I could see San Francisco winning by 10. I could see them losing by 20. You know, so I wouldn't touch this game personally. If I had to pick like we do for the show, I would take Chicago and plus 3.
Yeah, keep an eye on the injury report too, guys. Jaquaski Tartt, 49ers starting strong safety, is out. That was just announced. And Trent Williams, best tackle in the league probably, was out last week. And we'll see if he's out this week as well.
Jaquaski, what's his name again?
Jaquaski Tartt.
That sounds like a dessert. That's
no
like a
kidding,
dessert
man,
you
does.
Get at like a French restaurant,
it like, does,
a, like,
man.
A
like an expensive one.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
not cheap.
Yeah, yeah, we have got Jaquaski Tartt today available. It's fresh off the boat. They're like, oh, is it seafood? No, it's not. But it's made on a boat. You know,
it sure does. I never thought about that. But you're absolutely right.
Sounds good.
Sounds delicious.
I've never wanted to eat an NFL player ever in my life, but I do now.
I love it. Next up, we've got Miami at Buffalo. Buffalo is a 13.5 point favorite over Miami. Oh, that's tempting to take Buffalo here.
I don't remember seeing these larger spreads in previous years.
So we saw them, but it was like one a week, if that.
Now
we're seeing
four.
Two or three a week. Yeah, for sure. Because let's stop and explain why that is. Because I don't think we've ever seen five or six teams this bad in one season before.
You've always
either.
Got one or two that are fighting out for the last place, but now you've got five or six that are, you know, hold my beer, we're going to be worse than you.
Yeah, there's a website out there called Tankathon where they, you know, they basically rank the standings reverse to who's going to get the number one pick. And the Tankathon website's going to be interesting at the end of the year because I think there's going to be a lot of terrible teams.
There'll be a lot of
2
and 15 teams, you know.
Exactly.
A lot of coin flips going into the draft this year for sure.
No kidding.
Another large spread, man. 13.5. Wow.
Yeah. Now let's give a little context here. You got Miami coming off that very disappointing loss in Europe, in England. And you've got Buffalo here, 13.5 point favorite, Chad.
I think Buffalo's going to cover that too, which is crazy. I really do. I just think that Buffalo might be the best team in the NFL right now. I know they got beat by Tennessee last week or 2 weeks ago. A lot of things had to happen for that to take place. I think that if that game were in Buffalo, Buffalo wins that game by at least a touchdown. Tennessee got some, you know, they got lucky a little bit, in my opinion, you know. So Buffalo is a tough team. I think they're gonna put up a lot of points, and I don't think 13.5 is too large. I think they'll win by two touchdowns at least, if not three or four.
Yeah, I'm gonna lean that way with you, Chad. I do think this line may go up if it goes up to 14 or 14.5. If by the time you listen to this game's at 14 or 14.5, I wouldn't touch it at that point. 13.5 is a fair price if you like Buffalo here. Next game up, I think this could be the survivor play of the week. We've got Cincinnati at the Jets. Cincinnati is a 10-point favorite. People are obviously really high on Cincinnati, deservedly so, coming off of that huge upset win over the Ravens. We told you last week, by the way, to take the Bengals covering the points against the Ravens, and they won outright, which was really nice to see.
That was a butt whooping, man. That was,
it sure was.
Ooh. Ooh.
Jamar
terrible.
Chase.
Yeah, I was watching Red Zone when that play took place, and I thought, oh, that's gonna be a nice little 15-20 yard pickup. I think it was third down as well, and it ends up two terrible tackles, basically three missed tackles on that play, and he goes 82 yards or whatever it was.
People are starting to compare Jamar Chase to Randy Moss. People are starting to compare Joe Burrow to Joe Montana. Might be a little premature,
a little
for
premature,
that,
but Jamar Chase, I can tell you right now, we're talking about, I said this on our Twitter, people talking about rookie of the year, you could throw that aside. That guy's making the Pro Bowl this year,
yep.
in my opinion.
Yep.
He might be already one of the best receivers in the NFL. I'm not going to go that far, but he's definitely going to be up there.
You know what's funny, though, looking back, Chad, do you happen to remember from the preseason, people were relentlessly making fun of him because he was talking about how it's harder to catch the ball in the NFL because they don't have the little white strip on the end of the ball. Yeah. And everybody's like, oh, this guy's going to have a great season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's saying the ball's hard to catch.
Yeah.
I'm like, was he punking us?
Yeah.
Did he know he was having a big season?
He was just sandbagging the whole year. He's like, I'm going to be terrible in preseason, drop a bunch of passes and everything. And then I'm just going to come out murdering.
Dude, that's a good point, Chad, because not only did he say that, he actually did struggle in the preseason.
Yeah. Big time.
And boy, did he just turn it on when it came to week one.
Yeah, he was ready.
But anyways, back to this game. The public 10. We know is going to be on Cincinnati minus 10.
I would take that, dude. I would take Cincinnati in 10 all day long. The Jets looked absolutely atrocious this weekend. Zach Wilson's going to be out. Not that he was playing well to begin with. He's going to be out for at least a few weeks.
Yeah.
And they just got Joe Flacco, right?
Oh, yeah, as the backup. Yep.
Yeah, so who's going to be the starter?
He is the dude that played all last week against the Patriots, and he was terrible.
Yeah.
He was absolutely terrible. That's how bad. Chad and I are huge sports fans, and we both don't remember his name. Because, it was that bad.
Doesn't matter. He is not going to do well.
Yeah, exactly. I'll tell you what, Chad.
I'll take 10 points, man. Cincinnati just beat the hell out of
the Ravens.
The Ravens, 41-17. Yeah. The Jets, I know they're on the road, but they were on the road last week as well. I think that they easily cover this.
Yeah, I feel like a fraud here because I opened this segment talking about how you got to resist temptation and not take these big point spreads just because they've been hitting. And I can't take the Jets here. The Jets are that bad, though. How can you walk up to that ticket window and feel good placing money on the Jets right now?
You ain't know who the hell their quarterback is.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I know their coach. Oh, it's Saleh. Right?
Yeah, for sure.
But
I will say this. The Jets' defense is a little better than people think. It's really their offense that has been the problem. But,
when you're on the field, two-thirds of the game, you know, that's going to wear your defense down.
Yeah, so. Good point. Yeah, I got to lean Cincinnati here.
Yeah, same.
I hate to do it, but I got to. Next up, I think this is a great teaser opportunity. We got Tennessee at Indy. Tennessee is a one-point favorite, 1.5 at some shops if you shop around, which is why you want Odd Shark. I love these 1.5-point spreads, Chad. You know why? Because I like adding 6 to them. And it gives me 7.5 on a teaser. Yeah. So I go through the 3. We already talked about the importance of that. And I go through the 7. You get me up to 7.5. I love the Colts here, 7.5. But if I'm just looking at this number, it's a coin flip to me. I'm gonna have to probably stay away from it.
I'm gonna take Tennessee, man. I think Indianapolis. I think that's a little fool's gold. No offense, but they beat a bad 49ers team this weekend. I don't think that they're that good. Although they. You know, we talked about earlier, they could be a surprise dark horse somehow, maybe sneak into the playoffs.
Yeah.
I still think Tennessee is playing their best football right now. They've been playing really well the last few weeks. You know, we told you on the show last week, you know, I talked about the 4-team parlay last week.
Yeah.
I forgot to do it. I forgot to make the bet and everything hit.
That's almost as bad as losing money.
Yeah,
because you're so angry at yourself.
Because I did. I did lose money. And I woke up and halfway through the first half, I believe, on Sunday, I go, dude, did I forget to bet these games? And, of course, Tennessee, you know, took Kansas City to the woodshed. As we predicted on the show, Kansas City was going to struggle a little bit this year. I don't know that we thought it was going to be this bad.
Right.
They don't look like a playoff team right now. No. To be honest. They look like they got a lot of issues, man. It feels like this is the worst version of themselves possible. We'll talk about them in a little bit. But Tennessee, I'm taking that all day long. 1.5, I think that they're going to cover that. I think they'll win by 5, 6, or 7 points somewhere on there.
Yeah, I tell you what, if there were 2 games this week that I want nothing to do with, I'm going to say that game and then the Monday night game, which we'll get to, the Chiefs and Giants, because you got a team like Tennessee who, in my opinion, has one of the worst defenses in the NFL. I still feel that way even after the Chiefs game. And then they actually hold the Chiefs to 3 points, and it starts to make you think. You're like, whoa, am I wrong? Are the Titans actually better than I think? Or are the Chiefs that bad? And it's just hard to believe that the Chiefs are that bad. And so, I want nothing to do with that game. I can't touch it. Next up, we got Pittsburgh at Cleveland.
Whoa.
Pittsburgh is a 4-point road dog to the Browns. I see some 3.5s out there on Odd Shark as well. So keep that in mind. Chad, did you know, a Pro Football Focus, this website where you can pay them money and they'll give you some in-depth stats. Mm-hmm. We've had some guests on who have, talked about Pro Football Focus and have said some controversial things about whether they're a reliable source or not. They have the Browns as the second best team in the league overall based on their Pro Football Focus ratings.
Yeah, that's not true. Definitely not true.
So what they do is they take the offense rating, the defense rating, and the special teams rating, and basically because the Browns are in their top 10, allegedly, in all three of those categories, they've got them as the second best team in the NFL. And that just made me have less faith in that resource.
It would me as well. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know that Baker Mayfield is a top 20 quarterback in the league.
Right.
I'm just going to be
honest. When healthy, and when is that?
When he's healthy. Even when he's healthy, I don't know that he's a top 20 quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
After their rookie seasons, it looked like the Browns made the best pick possible with going with Baker Mayfield. Now Josh Allen is looking like an MVP candidate.
Yep.
Looks like we missed out. But, I don't know that Baker Mayfield's a top 20 quarterback right now. And I hate to say that because I love the guy. He's in Austin. He's from Austin. He lives in Austin. I know people that know him. I root for him big time. Huge Browns fan, obviously. But, yeah, I just don't know right now, man. 3.5, that seems like a lot to me. I'm surprised. I know the home team gets 3 points, But then again, is Case Keenum a better quarterback than Ben Roethlisberger right now? I'd probably say yes. I don't know how good Ben is,
Yeah, Ben's been playing a little better lately, but still not that great. I agree. That's
honestly,
sadly,
man,
that's almost a toss-up.
I hate to say this. I would take Pittsburgh here.
Wow, you're going to take Pittsburgh with the 4 points. I think I've got you as well. It's just, it's tough to have faith in Cleveland right now. Is Jarvis Landry going to play? He hurt his knee again toward the end of that game last week. If he's out, Cleveland's pretty banged up all over.
The season's gone about as bad as it could go for the Browns so far. A lot of injuries. The issues that the Browns have been glaringly obvious. There's not many playmakers on offense.
Yeah.
OBJ. I got a hot take on OBJ.
Let's hear it.
I want to tell you about this.
Yeah.
So I read last week that OBJ said that he doesn't drink water. He doesn't like to drink water.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
This is the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life, dude. He said he doesn't like to drink water because it makes his tummy, quote, feel squishy.
Come on.
Come on, man. You can't say that. That sounds like a little kid at a soccer game or something like that. Like, no, I'd rather have high C. Water makes my tummy feel squishy.
For real.
That's what fat kids say that want sugar.
For real.
This dude's a professional athlete getting paid millions, tens of millions of dollars a year. And he doesn't drink water because it makes his tummy feel squishy.
That's bizarre.
Dude, that is the weirdest thing I've ever heard. And no wonder why he's always hurt. And he's like kind of fallen off a cliff since he's gotten to Cleveland.
Yeah.
I bet he doesn't eat vegetables either because they're yucky. Or doesn't like the color of them or something.
I don't like green stuff.
That's bizarre.
Dude, that is the weirdest thing I've ever heard. Dog, OBJ, I know you don't listen to the show. Drink some water, man. What is wrong with you? You have to have water. You can't be drinking Gatorade and Sprites all day, man. No wonder why you're dehydrated. You're having injuries all the time. The dude gets injured every other play. It's like, yeah, dog, because your body is dying for water. It's thirsty, man. Feed it. What is wrong with you? Squishy. Dog.
That is bizarre.
Oh, I'm done.
That's
absolutely
bizarre.
With them.
That's bizarre. All right. By the way, the total in that game, I think, is worth a look. 42.5. I like the under there.
Yeah, I do too, definitely. After I heard that, I'm going to be honest with you, I was like, I've been kind of the guy that's been like, yo, don't trade OBJ. When I heard that quote, I was like, they need to trade him. Get rid of this dude. I don't want some dude on my team that doesn't like water. Like, everybody else got water on the sideline. He's like, no, let me get that purple stuff over there. I want a high C. You got any flavor ices? Like, dog, come on, man.
I love that it didn't just strike you as odd, but you no longer want him on your team.
I want him traded. They should trade him to Green Bay 2 weeks ago. As soon as they said that, it should be like, hey, OBJ, come into the office real quick. You're going.
Dude, you got a point. We live in an era where you got a 44-year-old quarterback like Tom Brady, doing all this super food nutrition stuff in order to stay in the league longer. And then the other end of the spectrum is someone who doesn't drink water.
Drink water because it makes his tummy feel squishy. That's not even a – what are you talking about? Yeah, probably because you haven't drank water all day, you goofball. What the hell's wrong with this guy? Maybe it was squishy. That's not even a descriptor. You know what I'm saying? Squishy. Like, explain what squishy means. What does that even mean?
That's bizarre. That's absolutely bizarre. I don't get it.
He's like, sure, it might have been right after I ate a whole bag of like Skittles. You know what I mean? But
it wasn't the Skittles though. Yeah. It was the water.
Next two games are a little meh. So.
Yeah, we got Philly at Detroit. Philly has a 3-point favorite, 3.5 in some spots. I guess I would take Detroit with the points. I guess I would take the home dog with the points, but you can tell by my voice, I don't feel good about it. So that's a lean. It's not a bet for
me. I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is when Detroit's going to get their first win of the season.
Nice. Okay, I can see that.
I'm going to say I would take Detroit here. It's inevitable. They got to win a game, right? They can't go 0-17.
Yeah.
I mean, they could, again. You know what I mean? But I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to win. And at least cover, you know, so.
Wouldn't shock me. But yeah. That's just going to be another toilet bowl game. I have no interest in watching that one.
Yeah, same.
We got Carolina at Atlanta.
Another one.
I'm hearing that Sam Darnold is looking at getting benched, it looks like. So we
You're
may have
traded.
PJ Walker come in.
He is a backup quarterback in this league.
Yep.
I've thought that since the moment he was drafted. It
looks like he's literally going to be one this week.
And you see Matt Rhule start to lose patience with him as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
He's not going to be long for Carolina. I would take Atlanta here.
We got the Falcons I see some threes here too.
Two and a half,
3-point favorites. Again, I'm going to repeat myself. Shop around. If you like the Falcons, take 2.5. If you like the Panthers, take 3. But I'm with you here, Chad. I like the Falcons 2.5. They've beat two bad teams the last couple weeks. They've looked really good, especially their offense the last 2 weeks. And critics will say, but it was against nobody. Yeah, well, Carolina might be nobody too. So I think Atlanta is going to take care of them in this division matchup at home.
Yeah.
Next up. This is an interesting one.
Yeah.
Patriots at Chargers.
A good game.
Patriots are 5.5-point favorites. You've got the Patriots underdogs. Thank you. Underdogs coming off that thumping of the Jets last week where the Jets just looked terrible. And then you've got the Chargers who also looked terrible the last time we saw them, but they're coming off a bye.
Yeah.
Woo.
They needed that big time after getting their butts beat by Baltimore.
They needed to regroup, yeah.
Austin Eckler, you know, friend of the show, we had him on first episode. He said that the bye week came at a perfect time. He's feeling a lot healthier. I expect the Chargers to bounce back and win this game. I think they'll cover 5.5. I mean, that is a big spread in my opinion. But at the same time, New England, I mean, they're not great. This isn't a division leader here, you know. So, but I will take the LA Chargers there.
It's tough. I want to take the Patriots here, 5.5. It's just you're giving Bill Belichick 5.5 points. Against a team that just looked bad and was exposed. And so I'm going to have the Patriots hanging in there. Maybe worth a sprinkle for the money line. Not a big sprinkle, but a little sprinkle on the Patriots money line here, too.
Just a little sprinkle.
A little bit of that, you know. next up, we've got Jacksonville at Seattle. Seattle coming off that Monday night close loss, but Monday night loss to the Saints. Couple close losses, actually, for Seattle. This is a game that they absolutely must win. They are 3-point favorites, and I'm going to predict this game is going to go up to 3.5. I'm going to give folks a little lesson here.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, if you scroll over on Odd Shark Chat all the way to the right, there is 1 3.5 already.
Oh, yeah.
When you see the juice, when you're looking at this lineup and you see the juice up to, you know, 120, that's the sports books telling you that they're making you pay a tax, essentially, on that because they would rather you not bet it. They'd rather you on the other side. So that can kind of be a precursor to let you know that that number is about to move up. So when you see -3s, 3-point spread with the juice at -120 or really anything over -110, that is a sign that that line could be popping and bursting up to the next 0.5-point increment. So I think we're going to start seeing some 3.5s here pretty soon. Urban
I'm taking
Meyer.
Jacksonville.
You're taking Jacksonville. I said, didn't see that coming.
I said it a couple weeks ago that I would never take them the rest of the season. I already reneged on that. I'm going to take Jacksonville.
All right.
I just don't have any confidence in Seattle. I would be honest. I don't think they look very well. I don't have any confidence in Geno Smith either.
Yeah.
This is going to be a down year for Seattle.
I don't have confidence in either of these teams. I guess what you've got to take into consideration is Jacksonville is coming off of extra rest. And Seattle is on a short week. So you've got one team with six days of rest because they played Monday night. And then you've got Jacksonville who's on 13 days of rest. And so just from a preparation standpoint, Jacksonville is going to be way more prepared. But then when I look at the head coaching discrepancy, I feel like that's just negated because you've got such a much better coach in Pete Carroll on the Seattle side. I'm going to have to take that coaching mismatch and I'm going to have to take the fact that Seattle's desperate here, and I'm going to go Seattle to cover. I wonder if anybody out there has guts to take Seattle in a survivor pool. It crossed my mind, but I don't think I can do it. Ultimately.
No, hell no.
Next up, we've got Washington, the football team, road dogs, 3 points at Denver.
I don't want to touch this game either. I'm going to be honest. This can be quick. I think It's a pickup to me, dude. I don't know. It obviously is to Vegas as well, because Denver is a 3-point favorite. They're at home. You typically get 3 points if you're the home team. It's a pickup to me. I wouldn't touch this game. I have no idea what's going to happen. If I had to pick, I guess I'd go with Denver because of the home team, but I don't have any confidence in either of these teams as well.
Yeah, I feel like we all just keep waiting for Washington's defense to just start playing well because they were so hyped. I'll own it. I liked Washington's defense earlier in the year too. They were so hyped coming into this season, and they just, especially that defensive line, has not lived up to expectations. So it's almost like you're waiting for them to just flip that switch and suddenly be good, but it's not happening so far. Yeah. I'm going to take Denver here. Teddy Two Gloves has a great ATS record. That guy covers the spread like an animal. And I think he can cover the 3 points here at home. Denver's a tough place to play. You got that altitude. I'm going to take Denver here. Yeah. Tampa Bay at New Orleans.
I'm going to take Tampa Bay here, man. This is I'm surprised
the spread is five-point favorite.
So small. Yeah, I think they're going to win by 10 at least.
Mm-hmm. You got New Orleans on a short week.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind. So that's another reason to maybe like Tampa here. It's just when you get into these division matchups, man, I like, in terms of trends, I like home division dogs. Give me those points in these situations mm-hmm. every time. So although I'm not a huge fan of New Orleans, who just lost their guard, Andres Pete, by the way, that's another loss for them along that offensive line. I'm going to take the Saints here +5. And I'm probably going to be in the minority. +5.5. I see a +5.5 on Odd Shark. I'm taking that one. +5.5.
Yeah. I don't blame you, but I'm going to take Tampa Bay.
That's fair. Next up, we got a Sunday night matchup. This is going to be a fun game to watch.
Yeah, it's going
to
be a really good game. Minnesota's a very underrated team. That's another team that I think that we were talking about earlier that I could see getting hot, making the playoffs. Minnesota. I think they're a good team, man. I don't think that they're as bad as they're kind of right around 500, I believe.
Yeah. We got Dallas coming off extra rest. We got did Minnesota have a bye last week too?
I think they did too, okay. Man. I was just about to say, because I don't remember seeing them play.
Wow, okay.
So two teams coming off the bye. That's very rare.
Yeah.
Dallas 3-point favorites on the road at Minnesota.
There's a lot of 2.5s though.
Minnesota's got a really good defense, man. A lot of people don't realize that. They got a really good defense. They're kind of a forgotten team.
Yep.
I'm gonna take Dallas though, man. I think Dak Prescott is as terrible of a coach as Mike McCarthy is. He's gonna cost them one or two games this year. I don't know that it's gonna be this one. But he's definitely going to cost them a game or two. But I still think they're going to win, and they're going to cover on the road at Minnesota -3.
Yeah, I like Dallas. I just think that the public likes them a little more. They're inflated. That line's inflated. The Cowboys are a little overrated, and I think the Vikings are a little underrated. So this is an easy play for me. Vikings +3. I see that +3 out there on Odd Shark. I'm going to take that one. But this is another teaser leg, guys. Remember earlier I said Colts, tease the Colts up to 7.5. Throw 6 points on the Vikings here. Get the Vikings +9 at home. And now you've got the Vikings +9 and you've got the Colts +7.5. Both home teams. This is part of what we call a Stanford Wong teaser leg. Statistically, over the years, these are the ones that are going to pay out the best, most often. So Vikings-Colts is your teaser play of the week. Two-team, 6-point teaser. I like the Vikings in the game by themselves +3 as well. This last one is going to be so interesting, Chad.
Yeah,
Giants at Chiefs. Giants are 10-point underdogs.
I feel like this is such a large spread. I think this is Kansas City. If they lose this game, their season's over.
Yeah.
I'm just going to call it. Season's over with. I'm going to take New York here, man. I don't think they're going to lose by less than 10. Or I think they're going to lose by less than 10.
Yeah. If you agree with Chad and you like the Giants, take the +10 now. Remember how I talked about that juice being a predictive factor? You can use Odd Shark in that way. The juice is actually suggesting that this line is going to be going down, and we're going to be seeing the Chiefs maybe only a 9.5 or 9-point favorite soon. So if you agree with Chad and you like the Giants, take them now. I like this game. This is what I'm going to do with this game, Chad. I'm going to sprinkle the Giants in a money line parlay.
Okay.
Maybe a little pizza money, $25, something like that, on the Giants money line. Would I be shocked at the Chiefs won? Absolutely not. Would I be shocked at the Chiefs covered the spread? Absolutely not. But they've just looked so bad. How can you not take a peek at this money line?
Yeah.
How can you not? Let me look up what it is. I'm on Odd Shark right now. I'm gonna click from spread to money line. I'm gonna tell you what this is right now, you guys. And you tell me if you agree with this or not. The Giants are going to pay +360, almost 4-1 for them to win this game. I know it's in Kansas City, But we've predicted the Chiefs to lose games they shouldn't have lost earlier this year, and those came through. Why not throw that in a parlay? Because if you throw that in a parlay with like three other games that are like, you know, 50-50 chance of winning, mm-hmm. even coin flip games, the odds are going to go way up. That's how I'm going to play this one here. I'll take the Giants plus 10 as well. Do you take the Chiefs in a survivor pool contest?
No, absolutely not. I would not touch the Chiefs any survivor pool right now.
What if you don't have the Bengals, Chad? What if you're like me? This is about me right now. I don't have the Bengals. I can't use the Bengals. I'm in this contest in Vegas, $6 million prize pool, $1,000 entry. I got two entries left. I can't use the Bengals. So do I trust Seattle against Jacksonville? Do I use the Rams up, which I would really like to save them for earlier in the year? They're going against the Texans. That's the safest bet.
I would do that.
You'd do that over the Chiefs?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, man. I got a lot of thinking to do this week, for sure. But
well,
anyways,
we got some good, decent games this week, at least a little bit better than last week. We hope so anyways. So make sure you go to oddshark.com to get all that information. You want to check all these lines and everything. Like we've mentioned throughout the episode, throughout that segment, they change all over the place, man. So you want to make sure you're getting the best number.
All right, great show today, Chad. You want to send us off with a little Odd Shark read?
Yeah, definitely, man. Odd Shark is your source for the latest odds from leading authorities, expert editorial content, and detailed matchup picks. Are you looking for statistics and trends for an upcoming game? Odd Shark has that too, and it's free. In-depth, expert analysis, stats, numbers, and trends to help you make the sharp game day picks. Whether you want to check out tonight's football odds, this week's hockey or basketball trends, or anything in between, head on over to Odd Shark and start thinking like a shark today.
Great episode today.
It was a great episode, man. It was an awesome episode. Coach Spradlin is an awesome guy. Can't help but root for him. We're going to be following his program and rooting for him big time this year, man.
For sure. Hopefully you give him a follow on Twitter and follow us on Twitter as well, at DNPCD Show, at DNPCD Sports on Facebook, on Instagram, on TikTok. And you can go to hotpiemedia.com and check out our newsletter as well.
Yeah, definitely. You said hotpiemedia.com. I spaced out for a second. Yeah.
It happens. Hotpiemedia.com, folks. And check out the other episodes on there as well. There's a lot of good episodes, a lot of good other podcasts, too.
Yeah, basically any topic you could think of, music, entertainment, comedy, all that stuff. So make sure you go and check that out. Give us a follow on all those platforms that we mentioned. Give us a thumbs up. Subscribe. Thumbs up on our YouTube. All that stuff, man. It really goes a long way and helps us out, helps us grow the show. So we appreciate you guys listening. Thanks for watching. For Michael Bolton, for Tony, I'm Chad Fisher. We'll see you guys next week. Peace out.
Thanks for listening. You can find more episodes and all of our other Hot Pie Media originals baked fresh daily at our home online at hotpiemedia.com, the Hot Pie Media YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.